Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour DDC here on this Friday afternoon. Darren McFarland and Derek Mason with you. Congratulations, Ryan. In Murfreesboro, correctly said, the Predators have been down 0-2 in a series six times, and they are perfect in Game 3s, 6-0 in Game 3s. Can they be 7-0 after tomorrow afternoon? Let's talk with Dan Rosen, NHL.com. The hard-hitting question, Dan, can the Predators be 7-0 in Game 3s after falling behind 0-2 in a series after Saturday afternoon? What do you think?
Well, I certainly think they can be because they were way better for the most part in Game 2, but they couldn't, they couldn't start much worse than they did in Game 1. So,
yeah.
That. But let's just be honest here. I mean, they got a 49 save performance from Connor Ingram and lost the game. And that's a problem because, with all due respect to Connor Ingram, you can't lose a game where your goalie, as unproven as he is in the National Hockey League, performs that way. And you can't expect him to perform that way, at least at that level, again, which is a problem. And they were also doubled up in shots, 51-26, so almost doubled up and one off. And they lost the game. So a couple of those things don't bode well for the Nashville Predators. Can they? Of course they can. They're a solid team. They got a lot of offensive guys. They can score. They should be able to. But I worry when you get a 49 save performance out of Connor Ingram and you lose the game. That's a concern for me.
What has been your observations? I know we'll get to the series that you've been covering heavily, but what's been your observations through two games, kind of your takeaways of this Colorado-Nashville series?
Well, look, Nashville was behind the eight ball when the series started because of UC Saros' injury. So, it's just a hard thing to deal with when your goalie who, you relied on so heavily all season long is not available to you. And it obviously showed in the first period of game one. That was, 5-0. You can't do much. It's a problem, Since that period, sure, it's been better for the Predators, but they're still not generating enough offensively. They're still on their heels a lot. Having watched the series from afar and only caught some highlights of the game last night, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing Cale Makar being a dominant defenseman, as he is. And you're seeing the Colorado Avalanche do what the Colorado Avalanche have done all season long, which is generate and consistently come at you. And that's kind of what I expected, too, and you didn't expect 5-0 in the first period, and that was the problem, So that's where they lose game one, and it puts them so far behind the eight ball, and then the Avalanche feel like they're really rolling and they're good, and they've kind of been doing that since, even though last night was just an overtime game in 2-1. So it's been one-sided, even though that game went to overtime. But can they flip it? I think they can. We've seen teams do this against the Avalanche before. The Vegas Golden Knights did it last year. But the problem is Vegas was a much better – I don't know if they're a much better team than Nashville is right now, but they obviously had, a little bit better – they had the goalie. They had, much better in net than we know that the Predators have. And maybe Connor Ingram is a good superstar in waiting. We'll see. But – it's a different animal than Nashville is now compared to what Vegas was last year, but it can be done. We've seen the Colorado Avalanche kind of, be a team that takes their foot off the pedal when they think they got it going so well. They say they're different this year. I guess we'll find out.
How crazy is it as we're talking about this goaltenders? I saw this last night, and I was just like, wow. You've got six goalies that have been starting in these playoff games that make, Dan, less than $1 million a year. Husso makes $750,000 in St. Louis. Louis Domingue, they're down to their third guy. Pittsburgh, $750,000. Connor Ingram's salary for the Preds, $750,000. The guy in Carolina is $842,000. Swayman and Ottinger. Ottinger pitched a shutout in Calgary, and none of those guys make $1 million a year.
Yeah. What does that tell you about goaltending? in the National
Hockey League. I don't know. What does that tell us?
To me, what it says is if you want to be a decent team, you want to be a pretty good team, you don't got to pay a lot for goaltending. You want to be a championship team, you make up the difference there. The goaltending makes the difference. And that to me is the big thing. And, you know, look at Carolina. It's a little bit different. They're down to their third guy, but Kochetkov is pretty good, which comes in with a pedigree, so that's a little bit different. They wouldn't be playing him without injuries to Anderson. Obviously, Saros would be in the net in Nashville. Tristan Jarry would be in the net in Pittsburgh, but those guys are hurt. Swayman and Ullmark, it's a little bit of a different story. They've kind of split all year long. Ottinger has been the guy in Dallas all year long, so that obviously may, he's going to get paid. Billy Huso's taken over that reins from Jordan Binnington in St. Louis. He's going to get paid. So it's a little bit different in that sense, but what it tells you is that if you want to be a pretty decent team and a playoff team, you don't got to overpay for goaltending. But I still think you need the goaltending to win, and the elite goalies get paid.
Yeah, most everybody was able to get the series tied at one. So far, let's just now go broad scope as we begin game threes. So let's starting tonight. But overall, like, what's been a couple takeaways? What good or bad through two games here in these playoffs?
Well, the Carolina Hurricanes have stayed with their domination of the Boston Bruins all season long, and it's continued in the playoffs, so that's good for them, obviously bad for the Bruins.
What is it, like 26-4 or something?
Yeah.
Crazy?
I mean, they've owned them. They've owned them this season. Yeah. I mean, Carolina can do that to a team. It's good. Even a team as good as Boston is, Carolina can do it. They have no holes, the Carolina Hurricanes. They don't have a weakness, and I think we could say the same thing about Colorado and probably Calgary, although they didn't score the other night. No weaknesses. And Carolina certainly is that team in the East, I think, that has no holes. And I think Tampa has no holes either. And, they struggled, obviously, in game one. It was a wake-up. They woke up. Now it's going to be a very interesting thing to see game three, Toronto-Tampa, because now you got the Tampa Bay Lightning back home and saying to themselves, we gave it to them. We gave them their one. They were the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. We don't lose back-to-back, so we didn't lose game two. And, maybe now we can put them on the ropes a little bit. And the pressure just swings so heavily to the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is interesting. Yeah, Edmonton, again, I think Edmonton had a nice rebound effort. Florida had a nice rebound effort. The Rangers had a nice rebound effort. Pittsburgh, unfortunately, is dealing with a ton of injuries. Casey DeSmith had core muscle surgery today. He's done for the playoffs, so it's Louis Domingue's net. Raquel and Dumoulin are both out, so that's tough. They're in tough right there for the Pittsburgh Penguins, because I don't even think the Rangers have come close to playing their best game yet, and it's 1-1 going to Pittsburgh, so with a triple overtime thriller. So it's been interesting, and you're right. I mean, it's a lot of teams were able to even it up, except for one.
So who right now, you get to cheat because we've got to see two games through all these series. Who do you think right now is the higher seed that you think, from what you've seen through two games, could be in trouble the rest of the series?
The higher seed that could be in trouble, Toronto. Toronto could be in trouble because, I thought Toronto, after the performance they put together in game one, I thought that they needed to win game two. And now you've given life to the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. And that's a concern for me if I am the Toronto Maple Leafs. There's no question about that. I think Minnesota righted itself. St. Louis is dealing with a couple of injuries there on D. That's going to hurt them. Edmonton righted itself. That's fine. Carolina, we know, has been really good. Florida righted itself. I think they're going to be okay. I mean, I did pick Washington in that series, so I'll still be a little bit concerned about the Panthers. Now they're going back to Capital One Arena again. Colorado, we know what they've done, obviously. And Calgary lost, but I'm still buying the Calgary Flames. I think they're so deep and talented, and the way they play games, they can make it a slog or they can zip it around the ice on you. So I think they're fine. But Toronto's the team that's the higher seed that I would look at and say I'd be a little concerned, because he gave life to the two-time defending champs.
We'll talk with Darren Rose at NHL.com. Now, Dan, where is this, getting back to the Colorado Avalanche and the Nashville Predators, where is this Colorado team vulnerable? Because it seemed like this past game, and you said it was almost like a wasted performance by Connor Ingram. He played so well in net, and you still didn't get the win. Where is this team vulnerable that the Nashville Predators can take advantage of?
They're vulnerable if you force them to play defense, because they're not that great doing that. You know, they are a high-flying team that can score goals in bunches. If you force, and it's probably one of the hardest things to do in hockey, but if you can force Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen and Gabe Landeskog and Nazem Kadri, you can force those guys to play in their own end, to get the puck behind their goal line and have to go 200 feet. If you can be physical against them and hit them, grind them down a little bit, which is exactly what happened to them in the playoffs the last few years, they're vulnerable. But you got to be able to do that, and that's a hard thing to do. And we have not seen yet the Nashville Predators be able to do that. And that's the concern. But you can score against them. Like they're a terrific team offensively, flying up and down the ice, no question about it. But if you can force them into playing in their own end, you can score goals against the Colorado Avalanche. It's, you know, they gave up 2.83 per game in the regular season. That's good. Especially when you're scoring, you know, almost four a game. 2.83 is pretty good, this season. But again, it can make them vulnerable. You need to be able to push them and make them feel the pain a little bit and play with the puck in their end instead of having them constantly come wave after wave at you.
Last thing, real quick, on the way out. Yeah, as you can imagine, we've talked a ton this year. We have David Poile on our show every Tuesday, every week. And we've asked him a bunch throughout the course of these negotiations. But do you think this series has any bearing at all on getting the Forsberg deal done? And when do you think this thing is going to get done? Because obviously the Predators know they need to get this done before, the second week of July, because he can't hit the market.
Well, I don't think this series has any bearing on that. I think as soon as Philip Forsberg has decided that he didn't want to sign a contract during the regular season, that he wants to see what he's worth on the open market. And that doesn't mean he won't go back to Nashville. But I think he's a player who's saying to himself, I'm 27 years old, almost 28. I'm coming off my big year. I'm a UFA. I got to see what I'm worth. And I think he's earned that right. And that is my guess, is what he's going to be thinking. And that does the series here, I don't think, has any bearing on that. I mean, if he was 100% sure he was going to sign in Nashville, he would have done it already. I think he wants, some guys like to get wind and dine and see what else is out there. See what's, grass isn't always greener on the other side. They might find that out. But at the same time, they kind of want to know what their worth is out there. Because he can get a contract offer from the Predators that he thinks is fair value, but he doesn't know it's fair value because he hasn't gotten any offers from anybody else either.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say that. Dan, thanks for the visit. As always, continue to enjoy the playoffs, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks again.
All right, thanks, guys. Anytime.
Dan Rosen, NHL.com. Good stuff from him. We'll come back and discuss that on the other side. Derek, I want to get your thoughts on what he just said there at the very end, because I have thoughts on it as well. You're listening to the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No